Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 176, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O God, to us show mercy and bless us in thy grace. Cause thou to shine upon us the brightness of thy face, and that so thy way, most holy, on earth may soon be known, and unto every people thy saving grace be shown. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 176.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the 13th chapter of Paul's epistle to the Romans, Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, we may read in thy holy word, already written so many years ago, that the night is far spent, that the day is at hand. Thou knowest how much further spent that the time is, wherein this world shall be permitted to exist, the time wherein thou dost gather thy church, where thou shalt bring them from the ends of the earth, the time of opportunity, the time of grace. But Lord, thou knowest that it is also an evil time. For it is a time wherein Satan does go about, especially as an angel of light, seeking a home he may deceive, if it were possible, even the very elect. And that is the time in which we and our children have our lot to live in this world. And Lord, thou knowest what we stand in need of, because we have hearts that are in such agreement with Satan that we will listen to him even as we have listened to him in the beginning. That his temptations are to us so very sweet, and they do draw our wretched and miserable hearts, that we would follow, that we would walk in his ways, that we would leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of sin. And Lord, thou knowest that there is not one of us that differs, that we in ourselves, we have no desire after thee, and that our hearts are so full of corruption. And then in such an evil time, that it is a wonder if we are not falling away, so that we are forever to be cast into that eternal pit, where hope shall never come, the everlasting despair, and that place of separation, eternal separation from thee, not only of the natural blessings, but also of the eternal blessings, and of all opportunity, and of all hope, and of all expectation. Lord, may thou bind upon our hearts the seriousness of our life, even in this day of thanksgiving wherein we may come together a second time. And thou knowest the nation wherein we do live, that it is a nation that is so highly blessed by thee, but it is also a nation that has departed so far from thee. Lord, we are then called in a special way also in this afternoon hour to remember our nation, to remember our rulers, and to beseech of thee that thou may remember our nation and our rulers, that thou may remember us in the day of tomorrow, and also our sister nation in the coming month, when elections are to be held in our nations, nations that have been granted from their beginnings the blessings of the Most High God, but nations that have forfeited all reason, wherefore thou shouldest continue to look upon us and to bestow thy blessings upon us. Lord, wilt thou remember us in mercy? And could it please thee in the day of tomorrow to guide the hearts of each and every man that is to go forth unto the polls to cast their vote, that thou thyself may overrule it, O Lord, and that thou may bring forth those results which are according to thy good pleasure. And could it please thee to govern us by men who are who fear thy name, Lord, that thou may give a great change in this nation which alone can come from thee, that thou may yet have dealings with us in order that we may bow our knees before thee. Wilt thou give us rulers that may rule us according to thy holy word, that may begin their meetings by calling upon thy holy name for guidance and for direction, that may bring thy holy word into their offices and into their chambers, that may seek to rule according to thy law. Lord, what a change that would be in our nation. For there are so many of our laws which are against thy law. Lord, wilt thou to that end remember in a special way those that are unborn? For now thou knowest the danger wherein they are, wherein any moment a decision can be made by a mother, by a doctor, that their precious life given in this world by thee would be cut off in one moment. Lord, then their place is a dangerous place, a place that has been created by thee to be a place of care. And now it is a place wherein there is such great danger. O Lord, how we have turned everything so upside down, and how the blood of the infants does cry out against us unto thee in heaven, so that it would be no wonder when thou wouldst cut us off as a nation and as nations, and bring us to our end. When it would be no wonder when thou wouldst give other nations the rule over us, and that we would become their servants and their bondmen to serve them. When it would be no wonder that they would rule over us with rigor. When it would be no wonder that the churches also would be closed, and that there would be no more opportunity to come and to gather around thy holy word. When thou wouldst cut off the mockery, when thou wouldst cut off the walking in the way of hypocrisy and deceit. O Lord, that is truly our desert. That is what we well deserve. And in this afternoon, we beseech of thee that thou would not deal with us according to our sins, but that thou would have mercy upon us amidst well-deserved wrath, that thou may remember us yet for good. Oh, that thou may chastise us. Oh, that thou may correct us, but not in thy anger, O Lord, that thou would bring us unto nothing, but that thou would do it in thy mercy, that thou would look upon us then as nations which are great nations. They are nations that also have a voice within this whole world. Lord, may thou remember also the world in which we live, a world which was created by thee and of which thou didst say, behold, it is very good. And a world which has so departed from thy institutions. Be with all those that are oppressed by governments, that will not allow them also to worship according to their own conscience, that will not permit men with an innate knowledge that there is a God to worship that God that has created them. Oh, that thou may remember them that are under such an oppression, and that thou may deliver them in thy mercy. Grant strength and courage under all the afflictions and oppressions of men. And wilt thou in thy own time give that people to rejoice in the salvation of the Lord. And wilt thou remember also governments of provinces and of states and of local governments in our lands. Lord, may thou thyself watch over, and wilt thou give men who may fear thee. Remember also governments of churches. We in our own denomination, our synod that may meet from time to time in the classes meetings, and the consistories which may be set over the congregations. Lord, may thou give thy grace and thy spirit in a rich measure, because we cannot deny that we also have departed so far away. Oh, we cannot deny and that sin has been given such a place and that we hardly see it anymore. We cannot deny that we have left our inner chamber so empty. Lord, may thou remember us, thou alone who art able to bring into the right place again, and that thou may give us thy spirit in a rich measure in the midst of our churches. Oh, that there may come in the midst of the congregations that silent weeping, that mourning over sin, that we may truly turn, that we may truly repent, that we may truly be brought to seek forgiveness at the hands of Thee, O Lord. Wilt Thou remember also of fathers and mothers in the midst of their households, for they are also called to govern. Wilt Thou give us faithfulness? Wilt Thou give us the fear of Thy name? And wilt Thou give obedience to the children, to their parents, that they may, that there may be love that may rule over all, which we have read out of Thy holy word, and that so we may be brought in an orderly way to live in this world, in the short time that we have between the cradle and the grave, until we shall come before Thee as the great governor over the whole earth. Thou who art that great ruler, and Thou before whom each and every one of us will stand, also we who do stand at the head of churches and at the head of families, we have to stand to give an account unto Thee. Lord, may Thou then give strength and help and give us love for one another in our hearts. And may Thou so look upon us then for the needs of this life, in order that all things may be quiet in this world in an outward way, and that we may be given the ability to seek our Maker. Oh, that we may be enabled to search Thy holy word, to meet together to speak of Thy word, and may it be out of Thy word. And that we may seek for the welfare of our poor, never-dying souls. Lord, may Thou so go with us again in this afternoon hour, when we hope to consider a little portion out of Thy word again. Oh, help us, Lord. Wilt Thou open Thy word to us and give us freedom and liberty? Oh, that Thy word may be a treasure out of which we may be enabled by Thy Spirit to bring forth those things which are precious to Thy people, and that are so to the welfare of each and every one of us for time and for eternity. Help us then, Lord, do forgive and keep us from all sin, and give that the labors of our hands may be profitable here in the midst of our flock. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. There will be one offering today for the church fund. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 223, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Where'er his creatures gather, the unseen God is near. Let rulers fear their ruler, and their judge let judges fear. How long, ye earthly judges, will ye pervert the right? How long shall wicked persons have favor in your sight? 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 223.
Thank you.
Congregation, we know that in the day of tomorrow, the elections are to be held in this country, and also next month, that elections are to be held in the United States of America. The Synod of our denomination last month has therefore requested and that a special service be held, and that we may remember these very important elections. And it was the decision of us as a consistory that we would dedicate this afternoon's service for this purpose. Elections, congregation, are a very serious matter. And it behooves us each to do our part, that part that we have been lawfully given in our land. There is the part in the first place of supplication, and that we may and are called each to do upon our own knees in our families and also here within the church. But then there is also the part of the use of the means in this world, that which we may do and that which we have a responsibility to fulfill for these elections. Why is it that these elections are such a serious matter? It is by these elections that the Lord is setting rulers and governors over us and our dear children. And it is so very, very important who that these rulers, these governors are, and also what they believe. And this we wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider with you out of the words of our text, which you can find once again in the book of Genesis, in the 16th chapter, Genesis 16, and thereof the 9th verse. Genesis 16, verse 9. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. So far the words of our text. Hagar commanded to submit to her mistress. First, her flight. Second, her arrest. And third, her memorial. Hagar commanded to submit to her mistress. First, her flight. Second, her arrest. Third, her memorial. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Thus we have heard that there was trouble. Trouble here in this family of Abram. Rivalry. There is pride, there is jealousy, arrogancy, there is envy. And Sarai, we heard, she goes unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. Thus we heard there was more trouble, an increase of that trouble in that family of Abram. Because now there are unjust accusations. Now there is an attempt to clear oneself when there was guilt. And now Sarai accuses her husband. She calls down, we read, even the judgments of the Lord upon her and her husband. The Lord judge between me and thee. And what does Abram do? What does Abram answer? Do we wonder about his fathers? Because maybe we also have such troubles within our family. Do we wonder about this as consistory members? Because there also can be such trouble. So we say, what does Abram, what will Abram now do in the midst of all of these troubles, that aged patriarch? But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand, do to her as it pleaseth thee. That is remarkable. We do not hear a word of reproof that comes out of that mouth of Abram. We do not hear a single rebuke against his wife Sarai, who really has been too sharp against Abram. And she had no excuse to give the accusations that she did. What does Solomon say? A soft answer turneth away wrath, and yielding pacifieth great offenses. Abram does not, fathers, husbands, office bearers, Abram does not justify, Abram does not defend himself. No, but Abram also does not sanction that which Hagar is doing. Abram, we see, though he has taken unto himself a concubine, Abram has not lost love for his dear wife, for Sarai. And that it is in no wise diminished. Behold, thy maid is in thy hand, do to her as it pleaseth thee. Thus Abram gives Sarai permission. He gives her permission to discipline her maid, Hagar. Discipline. Discipline, congregation, is so very, very important. It is so very important. In a household without discipline, there is chaos. Without discipline in the church, without discipline in the state, there will be chaos, there will be disorder. We know that Eli spoke, but he spoke too softly unto his sons. And what a chaos and disorder and the displeasure of the Lord was brought into the church because of that lack of discipline. Why has discipline become necessary? Discipline has become necessary only because of sin. Rulers, Paul say, they are not a terror to good works. No, rulers, they are a terror unto the evil works. And then there is also a special person that is the father of a household who is called in a special way to discipline. And it is actually from that headship of the father that we receive headship within the church and within the state. Therefore, what an important thing is headship within the family. But now we can hear that headship, and that is giving permission also unto the wife. So Abram gives permission also, the father giving permission unto the mother, the husband giving permission unto the wife, in this case for the servant, to discipline. Behold, thy maid is in thy hand, do to her as it pleaseth thee. But congregation, how must discipline now be carried out? That is a question, of course, of the utmost importance. Abram, he says to Sarai, you may do whatever pleases thee. And Abram may now trust his wife, and that is now a great blessing. When a man may trust his wife, we read that the heart of her husband may safely trust in her. Is that our character, wives, that our husbands can safely trust us to carry out that discipline in our home when we are not present? And that we are of such a character that we are able to be trusted with this position, with this task. However, Sarai is actually not in a frame and in a condition here to discipline. Why not? Because she is angry. And when we are angry, that is not a time to discipline. If we carry it out in such a time, then we can be quite sure that we are going to be too harsh. We can be quite sure then that the punishment is not going to fit the crime. At that time that anger fills us, then we can be sure that we are only going to provoke others unto anger. Now we hope to see in a little while how that this submission to discipline, that is the command of the Lord. And if that be so, then what a responsibility is the hand, in the hand of him who is called to discipline. And that he is disciplining in that fear of the Lord, that he is disciplining not in an oppressive way. We read of God's servant Job, that he spoke about his servants. And when he thought about how that he would deal with his servants, then he thought, is not that God that made him also that God that made me? And did not one God form both of us in the womb? As it is generally, so it was also here. We read Sarai dealt hardly with her. Thus Hagar is roughly disciplined. Sarai is thrusting Hagar immediately back into her servile condition. Whatever tokens of honor, whatever tokens of respect that Hagar has received in her new position as her new status, they are taken now away again. This heated mistress, this heated rival, she is going to make certain here that Hagar is going to feel the weight of her transgression. Oh, do we not also know the same place, fathers and mothers? Is that not also so painfully familiar unto us teachers? And what happens? Hagar flees. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. We have heard of her pride, and her pride that is not able to bear up under these oppressions. As she is not able to humble herself with that new status that she has received, or that has made it so difficult for Hagar now to bow. And she makes a decision. Instead of submitting, she will leave. She will flee this oppression that she may be able to come out from under these afflictions. So, boys and girls, she waits until a time perhaps that no one is watching. Maybe even at the night, in the nighttime, And then she flees and she runs away so that no one will be able to bring her back again. Oh, Hagar, do you consider what you are doing? Is this now what you have learned from that day that you have been brought into the family of that godly patriarch? Is this how he has instructed you in the fear of the Lord? O Hagar, do you realize what you are doing? Will you now run away from that blessed place of instruction not only, but that blessed place of protection and care under which you have come? And that blessed place of love and of safety? Hagar, are you going to flee now from the bosom of Abram? That husband to whom thou hast so recently been so closely united? O Hagar, do you consider what you are doing? Are you not able to acknowledge that you actually really were the first fault? Oh, where, Hagar, was the origin of all of this trouble? And are you not now able to bear a little buffeting for your own faults? But pride that is not so readily brought low, pride that is not so easily humbled, we rise, congregation, in a moment, but we must be brought low. Sarai tries to do that to Hagar. She will make her submissive. But she cannot. But what is not possible with men, that is possible by the Lord. We see that in the second, our second thought, her arrest. Hagar, Sarai's maid. Who is that who is calling children? It is the Lord. We read it is an angel of the Lord, but actually it is the Lord himself who comes probably in the form of a person and appears here unto Hagar. Thus God appears unto this maidservant that is the highest, that is the most high God. He is appearing unto the lowest, the meanest in this world. Oh, do you ever think, boys and girls, that the Lord does not hear you because you are so little? He hears mother and father, but I am just a child. Oh, there is nothing that is too small, and there is no one that is too low for the Lord. Look, the Lord, he is calling. The Lord sees and the Lord knows even this maidservant, oh, who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high and who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth. Hagar, Sarai's maid, he arrests her. As she is fleeing further and further and further away from the right way, and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. Probably as she is fleeing once again into the land of Egypt. Hagar, Sarai's maid, that is an omniscient God, that is a God who knew her name, and that calls her by her own name. And then she may experience something of that omniscience within her own life, congregation. Did the Lord ever call you by your own name when you were fleeing further and further out of that right way to arrest you, and to stop you in your way. Hagar, Sarai's maid, oh, what greater mercy can we receive in our life when we are so foolish as this Hagar, when we have been given so many privileges, then how foolish in our heart when we run away from God. In congregation, that is our life. That was the life of our father Adam. That was his choice, and that is now the choice of all his sons. To do as Hagar, to lift ourselves up in pride as we have done in paradise, to be independent, to want to go in our own way. And we will not stop in that way until there is an almighty hand, until there is an almighty God to come and to arrest us on our way. That is a one-sided work. We do not read that Hagar is asking here after the Lord. But he is found of them, we read, that sought him not. Hagar, Sarai's maid, oh, what a check for her sinful pride. He does not say, Hagar, wife, concubine of the patriarch Abraham. No. He does not respect her a new high title, her new status, her position. But when the Lord comes, then he will remind that people of their origin, and he will show to them what they are in and of themselves. No, the Lord will not lift them up, but the Lord will teach them what they are in reality. Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou? Hagar is questioned. Questioned by the Lord. Congregation, were we ever questioned by the Lord? And what does the Lord ask her? He says, whence camest thou? Where do you come from? Where is your home? Where is the place you belong? Where is your station? Where is your calling? Why is Sarai's maid out in the wilderness? Why is Sarai's maid not in Sarai's tent? Whence camest thou? From what are you running? What privileges, Hagar, are you leaving? What are you leaving in that house of Abraham? What are you leaving in that godly household? What husband are you leaving? What duties? What responsibilities are you forsaking? As a maidservant, the place that I have placed you in this world, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou and whither wilt thou go? The wilderness, Hagar, that is a dangerous place for you. There is no water here. There is no food here. There are so many dangers in this wilderness. And you put not only yourself in such a great danger, but I have given to you a child. And thus also your family you do the same with. Oh, whence camest thou and whither wilt thou go? Will you go now once again into Egypt? Will you seek its allurements? Will you seek all of its vanities? Will you seek all of its treasures and its gods? Will you seek freedom from oppression there? Are you going to seek freedom from your duties, from your responsibilities, from your husband? Yes. Are you going to seek to receive freedom from the Lord Himself? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. Oh, what a precious honesty. Is that in you too, boys and girls, when you are asked, what are you doing? What have you done? Then do you say honestly what you have done? That is what Hagar did. She said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. When the Lord stops us, then we will become honest, because the Lord will make us honest. Hagar acknowledges her transgression, but then she also excuses herself. She says, I flee from her face. And her face is a face of anger. Her face is a face of wrath. Her face that is a face of displeasure. And I am being treated unjustly. It is oppression. It is an afflicting hand from which I am fleeing. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return. Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. So Hagar is sent back by the angel of the Lord. No, Hagar is sent back by the Lord Himself. Return and submit. Command of the Lord. Go back. Go humble yourself under your mistress and tell her you were wrong and ask her to forgive you and tell her that you will do better in the future. Return to thy mistress. Does the Lord not know? It was oppression. It was an afflicting hand. Must she submit herself under that harsh treatment? Must she submit to unfairness? Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. That is, the upholding of the authority that is upon the earth, as an authority that is given by the Lord Himself. Let every soul, Paul says, be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. Powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. The Lord Jesus said to Pilate, thou couldest have no power at all against me unless it was given to thee from above. We are called to obey. Why? We are not called to obey because of a social contract of man, because of an agreement among men that we just agreed that the best thing in order to have order is that we all choose a ruler and we all listen to that ruler. That is a human institution on the outside of God. That is not why we are called to obey, because it is our decision to make ourselves a ruler. No, we are called to obey because God has set authority in this world, because God has given the Father as the head of a household. And therefore, we are called to obey, not only in families, but also in churches and governments. Therefore, submission to authority is submission to God. Say, young people, what if my father is always so unfair? He is headstrong. He is unjust. He does not treat me rightly. We will consider that after we sing. Psalter 61, my sins and faults of youth, let them forgotten be. And for thy tender mercy's sake, O Lord, remember me. 1-4 of Psalter number 61. The angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction." Ishmael, what does that mean? It means God shall hear. Why? Because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Did Hagar cry to God? No, we don't read it. And yet it says, the Lord hath heard thy affliction. She did not cry to God. She chose instead to flee from her mistress. And she had pride and arrogancy lying in her heart. And yet, even though the Lord did not hear her voice, even though there is sin dwelling in her heart, yet the Lord has seen, the Lord has taken notice of her affliction, of the injustice, of the oppression. He has regarded her condition as he always does. He regards oppression in this world. That is such a wonder. Also for those who never sought after him. And then Hagar is given direction by the Lord. Return, submit under it. The Lord says, Hagar, this is your place. This is the place that I have assigned unto you. This is the place that I see is necessary for you. You know not best, but I know best where I want you. I see, I know your affliction. I take notice of the unreasonable treatment. You may be certain of it. And Hagar, if that continues, then you may cry to me. Then Hagar, I will deal with the oppressor as I see fit. That is not your task, that is my task. You leave that oppressor in my hand, and I will give you a son, and you are to call his name Ishmael, that Hagar, you may be reminded in your difficult position always by the name of your son, God shall hear. And with this comfort, Hagar goes back. She turns about. And she returns unto Sarai. And she submits herself. Sarai had tried to discipline her. But when it was not in the fear of the Lord, then it has not profited, has done nothing but provoke rebellion, that she has become accomplice also for the sin of the fleeing of her maid. But when the Lord comes, and when the Lord says to Hagar, Hagar, so far and no further, then it is experienced in the life of a person that the Lord has a willing people in the day of his power. And then they are willing to go his way. They are willing to return, even if it is under the hand of oppression and affliction. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Thou God seest me. Or that means, Thou, God, revealest thyself to me. He came for that girl, such a great wonder. She says, have I looked after him that seeth me? Have I sought him? Have I cried to him? No, she says, I have not. And yet he has looked upon me. Yet he has come to me. He has directed me. He has comforted me. And therefore she wishes always to have this in remembrance. She desires a memorial as a special thanksgiving. And she names that well at which the Lord had found her, Beer Lahairoi, meaning the well of him that liveth and seeth me. The comfort of Hagar, who was directed back into the bond service of Sarai. Congregation, may the Lord remember Canada and the United States of America in this month and in the month to come. It is a serious time. Why is it a serious time? Because we are called to submit. Authorities are going to be placed over us. And we do not know what the future is. We do not know what is coming in our nations. The only thing we can do is see that it is not good. Then we can see that in a likely way that there is oppression also coming among us in our nation. And we have responsibilities. We have lawful responsibilities to vote. We also may voice our opinion to our government. That is a blessing because there are many people in this world that live under governments where they have no freedom to voice their opinion, their concern. And yet we must say, although we have this freedom, that Satan is the prince of this world. And what we see coming are very dark clouds. Whatever comes, then as individuals, we are going to have to submit to that which is lawful before God. May we also be given the comfort of Hagar. What she may be given, that we may have a place to go in all those afflictions. May we know that God rules. We know that the Lord has led the children of Israel down into the land of Egypt. And there they were oppressed. The Lord saw it good for them. The Lord saw it fitting for them that they should receive this oppression even until their sons were cast into that river Nile. Oh, there must have been so many times where that people really wondered if there was a God in heaven. And if God ruled, but there came a time that the judgments of the Lord came and that he stood for his people and the enemy of the oppressed, they were completely destroyed. There came a time that the Philistines may have rule over the children of Israel because they had sinned against the Lord. So much so, that sacred and precious ark of God
was taken down into that land of the Philistines. And they rejoiced with their God over the Lord Jehovah. What an oppression. And yet there came a time wherein the Philistines also must experience that the God of the heavens and of the earth rules over men. Oh, may we remember that the Lord reigns. And may we be given that place of submission and supplication. Wives, children, you also have a head. It is your husband. It is your father. What is your place? Your place is submission. You say, young people, what if there is oppression? If that's what you feel it is, the Lord says submit. And now what a wonder. Is that not a wonder? The Lord says go on your knees. Go on your knees. And if that is really true, then I will hear you. And then your place is not to flee authority. Your place is to submit and to cry to the God of the heavens and of the earth. Oh, fathers, what a responsibility that we have. Oh, what a God that we will have to stand before and give an account of how we have dealt with our authority. Oh, may the Lord make us careful. May the Lord make us prayerful. Consistory, we also have a responsibility. In congregation, we are set as head also over you. And then you have also that same place. Not only the government in this world, not only the government in the family, there is also government within the church, and it is possible. Oh, it is likely. Oh, it is sure that we are going to make mistakes. That is sure. The Lord does not set angels. No, the Lord sets sinful men as heads within the churches. Political, sinful, and it is possible that you also are the recipient of such decisions. Oh, may the Lord keep us from it. But may the Lord also give you place on your knees. Oh, do not cry against us, but cry for us. And may the Lord remember all of us together. Are you under church discipline? That ought not so to be. Can you just leave that? What does the Lord say? Return, submit. And may the Lord himself give you that place that Hagar may receive. Beer lahairoi. The well of him that liveth and seeth me. Is that not a wonder? If we may experience in our life that the Lord lives and that the Lord sees me, the lowest, the meanest, the most insignificant one who is heard on high by the Lord, the God of the heavens and of the earth. Oh, may the Lord make her testimony also our testimony. not only for the good and the welfare in this life, but especially for another. Amen.
O Lord of heaven and of earth, all we need to be governed by Thee, each one of us. And we will have to stand before Thee with our official sins as well as our personal sins. Oh, give us love for one another all together. And oh, remember Thou us from above, also as nations. Wilt Thou dismiss us with Thy blessing? Forgive all that was sinful in speaking and in listening in these days. And may Thou give us the profit thereof undeservedly for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 267, stanzas 1 through 4. Jehovah reigns supreme. Let nations tremble now. He dwells between the cherubim. Let earth before Him bow. 1 through 4 of Psalter 267.
Jehovah.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.